You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Nations explode, national boundaries shift, and international borders change. Old political grievances fester, and new military alliances are made. Like an uncontrolled roller coaster, the history of nations goes up and down and up and down again. Following World War II, many people felt that the world had finally settled down. But it was not to be so. The current situation of world politics, as it continues to bubble and to boil over, reflects the words of Jesus, who said that until the end of the world, there will always be wars and rumors of wars. In recent months, Eastern European nations experienced sudden changes in society. Dictatorial governments toppled, leaders were arrested, and some, like those in Romania, were executed by a firing squad. With these stirring events fresh in our minds, we can better understand the situation of God's people over 2,000 years ago. As Isaiah the prophet looked ahead, he foretold international political and military turmoil. Isaiah describes a mighty political power that would begin to flex its muscles in the east. This power would be Cyrus, the king of Persia, and his nation would be mighty in military strength, and they would march west, heading for Lydia on the Mediterranean coast. Nations would be caught in the way, and they would be overrun. And as the prophecy of Isaiah points out, these nations, over a century later, would be frightened to death. And in the midst of this coming political and military upheaval, the children of Israel would also become aware of the great power from the east. However, through using the military maneuverings of Cyrus, God would deliver them from captivity. And what might have been a very terrible thing for God's people, the Lord used for their blessing. This section of the Bible dramatically reveals how people, and even nations which do not believe and trust in the true God, will try in vain to save themselves. And this text also reminds us that God will often use individuals and events which may be a judgment for some, and transform it into a blessing for those who believe and serve Him. Like the pagan nations that Isaiah foretold would be conquered, our secular society today is also being invaded. The invaders are not military. The devil is more subtle than that. Our secular society is being invaded by the spiritual forces of wickedness. And one of the most destructive attacks in our society has come from the demons of divorce. And just as Isaiah foretold that a future secular society would fail in its attempt to defend themselves, so we also shall fail if we try to handle our problems apart from God. Oh yes, the subject of divorce is becoming increasingly controversial in our society. So many families have been touched by this divisive event that parents and children and even close relatives have become extremely sensitive and defensive. They don't know what to say each time the subject comes up. And there are then those who try to paint a rosy picture about it all, and even to say that divorce is not all that bad, and that it can even be a blessing. But recent sociological studies, however, show that this is little more than wishful thinking. And so today, I am not going to express my own opinion. I am simply going to repeat what has been stated recently by major secular institutions such as Time Magazine. Time Magazine, of course, is not a religious journal, but it is sometimes helpful for some of us in the world of religion to listen to the observations of secular institutions. In fact, sometimes secular institutions are much more honest in their blunt evaluation of society than some of us who claim to be religious. 1 year ago, Time Magazine, in a major story, stated that The family breakups caused by divorce are always a shock to the children. And these writers stated that a recent provocative report suggests that the majority of children who go through divorce continue to experience trauma for up to 15 years after the divorce itself takes place. This reliable study, which took over a decade and a half to complete, also revealed that the majority of children who were victims of divorce feel rejected for years as a result of the marriage breakup. And then, adding insult to injury, researchers were surprised to find that many parents, even after they divorce, continue to be at war with each other. And then the children are often helpless. They are trying to make the best of a bad situation. And in the meantime, their fighting and divorced parents are of little help. Well, that's now what Time magazine has had to say. And I don't think it's necessary for you or for me to add our own comments or our own opinions. One of the nation's most listened to talk show hosts summed it all up after his own divorce when he confessed that in spite of how he tried to put the best construction upon divorce, this event is still one of the most negative social elements of our culture. Divorce is a failure, both in the mind of man and in the mind of God. And divorce, according to the Bible, is certainly a sin in the sight of God. And so I think we can all agree that our society, and especially our families, are being torn apart by destructive forces, and divorce is only one of them. However, it is of no value whatsoever to simply stand around and to talk about it. What can we do? This is the question. Men and women, what must we do to be saved from this scurrilous invasion of the devil? The Bible has some helpful insights in these matters. Remember how we discussed the prophesied military invasion by King Cyrus of Persia into the surrounding countries over 2,000 years ago? Well, Isaiah foretold the response of the secular society to this invasion, and Isaiah also consoled the children of God with how the Lord would protect them. And by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah now offers superb advice and godly counsel for us in our generation and for our families and for our nation. The first thing that Isaiah points out is the response that would come from that group of people who did not believe in the true God. Oh, they were very religious. They were very much like we are today. But their fatal mistake was this. They were trusting in themselves to save themselves. They thought that they could protect themselves by their own power and their own technology. Listen to Isaiah as he foretells the frantic activity of the secular society. The coastlands, Isaiah says, have seen and they are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble. You see, they were going to be frightened by Cyrus's invading army. They have drawn near and they have come, and each one helps his neighbor, and they say to their brother, "Be strong." And so the Bible says these people tried to defend themselves with their own technology. And so the craftsman encourages the smelter, and he who smooths the metal with the hammer encourages him who beats the anvil, saying of the soldering, "It is good." And he fastens it with nails that it should not totter. Oh, these people were trying to save themselves. And isn't this also what we so often try to do today? You and I are not usually faced with military invasions. However, we do find ourselves battling against invaders of the home and the family. And sad to say, our defense is often so self-centered, so man-oriented, and so godless that our efforts are often destined to fail even before they begin. When trouble starts in the family or the marriage, we first try to cover it all up. For social reasons, we try to act like there is nothing going on. But then the matter gets worse and worse and worse. And then we run to a marriage counselor, or perhaps even we might buy a paperback book on how to save our marriage or our home. But at that point, things are usually in such a bad shape that at least one of the marriage partners is privately inquiring from friends as to where they might obtain a good divorce lawyer at the cheapest price. Oh yes, it is time for all of us, not only for those of us caught in marriage and family problems, but for all of us, to seek the true God of the Bible. We are all equally sinners. Divorce is a terrible sin because of its innumerable consequences and because it ruptures a sacred institution that God Himself has established. But divorce is not necessarily worse in the sight of God than any other sin. And we have all often failed, every last one of us. The Scriptures say, "There is not a just man upon this earth that doeth good and sinneth not, no, not one." So it is time for all of us to acknowledge and to seek the God of grace and the God of mercy. And instead of cowering in fear about deteriorating family matters, or about our children, or about ourselves, we need to meditate upon the help that God has offered people in past generations, and the same help that God is still offering to you and to me today. As Isaiah spoke about the concerns that Israel would someday face, he also proclaimed God's word of hope. "Do not fear, says the Lord, for I am with you. And do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you, and surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This section from the Bible that I've just read, these inspired words from the pen of the prophet Isaiah, are not mere historical observations. These words are for you. God is speaking to you through the prophet Isaiah, and God is saying to you in a loving way, "Don't be afraid. Don't worry about all the problems that you and your family are now facing. God is with you, and God will help you. And even if there are people who are arguing with you and who are even trying to destroy you, don't worry, because God will stand with you every hour." In Isaiah's day, the children of Israel had often strayed away from God, and through their worldly living and through following after false gods, they had opened themselves up to the attacks of the devil, and God sent the prophets to call them back. And like helpless sheep that have strayed away from the protection of their shepherd, through our sinful actions and even our indifference towards God, we too, in our generation, often stray away from our spiritual shepherd. In order for you and me to get our lives straightened out, and in order for us to get our families and our marriages reestablished upon a solid foundation, we need to return in sincere repentance unto Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know my Father." And Jesus said, "I lay down my life for my sheep." This is what Jesus said. And yes, this is also what Jesus did. He laid down his life for us. Voluntarily, he permitted himself to be crucified on the cross. And by this act of atonement, Jesus opened up again the way for you and for me to return back to God. This is the same hope and the same salvation that Isaiah outlined for the salvation hope of the people of his day. And so when you and I return to the Lord, then we can know that God's promise spoken by Isaiah the prophet will be real in our lives also. "Do not fear," God says, "and don't be anxious. I will help you." Here God is speaking to you and to your family. Yes, God is waiting to forgive you, and he wants to give you a new start, and God wants your marriage to succeed, and he is sincerely desiring that your family would stay together. Of course, there are some of you for whom talking about restoring a marriage is a little bit late. There is no way in this life that this can ever be changed, and you know that. We live in a real world where situations demand that we also live with the results of our mistakes. But this doesn't mean, my friend, that you're going to have to give up. Your sins are forgiven. The sins and the mistakes that both you and I have committed have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And you, even though your past is not what you would like it to be. You can go on with your life. Oh, yes, my friend, there is hope for you and your loved ones. And so, my friend, now I'm going to ask you to pray with me. I'm going to assume that the devil may have invaded your family or your marriage or even your personal life in some way or the other in recent days or weeks. And the prayer that I'm asking you to pray with me is a prayer that God would enable you to sincerely repent of your sin and to return back to Him for healing and for hope, and that God would then strengthen you and enable you to face all future temptations. Would you pray with me? O Almighty God, You are the Lord of love and the God of grace. By Your mercy, grant hope unto the many families and marriages that have been invaded by the devil. Strengthen the faith of all who hear this message, and assure them of Your total forgiveness, Your mercy, and Your loving protection as they continue their journey through this life, yea, even unto the gates of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen.